Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show on this Tuesday. Great to be sitting in for Jim again. I am Bill Ryder. And this program, as always, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have a seamless show planned for you. Really excited. There's a lot of things to get into today. It's amazing how, in a time without sports, outside of soccer, there's so much news that it feels like just pops every few hours. Just over the time, really this morning, and certainly since we were on the air yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Bradley Beal has announced, because of a shoulder injury, he will not play for the Wizards, eliminating what really was the farce anyway, that team was going to be competitive for that coveted 9 seed and a shot at winning a couple games to get into the actual playoffs. Dwight Howard, and you know, we'll brag a little bit here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder. I'll brag a little bit. Told you yesterday that it heard from sources that Dwight Howard was going to report to Orlando, and Howard had been very vocal about, for him, the question that he was struggling with. He was chewing over whether in a time of this virus and Black Lives Matter, for him, playing in Orlando made sense. And we told you on the show yesterday, he decided that it did. And Shams followed up our info for you here on the program with the confirmation that Dwight's going to be in L.A., which, look, he's not the Dwight Howard of past. We know that. But he's an important piece of what that team needs. And you'd imagine the very real possibility a whole bunch of depth is going to be important in this NBA playoff run, and really for Major League Baseball, too, because of the very real possibility guys are going to miss some time. FC Dallas, one of the MLS teams that we're going to begin play tomorrow, has opted out of the entire return to play that season, that World Cup-style season, because of coronavirus testing, a lot of positive cases with that club. Certainly doesn't bode well. And maybe we'll hit this later. There's enough darkness and ugliness out there, but it's worth speaking to and condemning quickly. DeSean Jackson, receiver with the Eagles, posting what he believed to be a Hitler quote that's clearly anti-Semitic, showcasing again that sometimes you can't underestimate the ignorance and the hate of the people you want to root for. What a disappointment that is. But the biggest news, and it is big news from Kansas City all the way across this country, and good news, a superstar worth celebrating, and a franchise and a team, and I've got connections, deep connections to Kansas City. My kids are born there, lived there for almost a decade, worked at the Kansas City Star, began my radio and TV career from Kansas City. The news at the end of the program, I want to thank the Chiefs for just timing it. So just when the Jim Rome Show got done yesterday, they dropped this massive payload of, holy cow, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what the bigger news is. The fact that a 10-year extension puts him under contract for 12 years, or the fact that if he lives out that contract, $500 million in money for a guy a couple years ago was at Texas Tech just doing his thing. You know, I am, like most media members, and I had forgotten this. My buddy Jeff down in Texas reminded me of this. Not that many years ago, I went to a Super Bowl party, and I'm walking around, and, you know, those Super Bowl parties during the day, at night, they get a little loose. During the day, if you've ever been, they're a little awkward. It's like noon, maybe you're hungover or not. I certainly imagine I was, and you're talking to these college kids trying to make it, and I found myself holding a semi-warm beer at Lee Steinberg's party with my friend Jeff, who'd come over from Dallas, and ended up talking to this nice kid, this nice young man named Patrick Mahomes, who a lot of us thought had a chance maybe to get drafted in the upcoming draft and maybe do something interesting. And we know what history had in store. Really what he had in store. Chiefs move up to get him, even though they had Alex Smith. He studies under Smith. The Chiefs see well before we do. In fact, Trez Paylor, who's going to be on the show later, called this a year before he started, that Mahomes was going to be one of the best players in the NFL the moment he started, got the opportunity, And the first year that Mahomes plays, 50 touchdowns. That's passing touchdowns, by the way. He had a couple others on the ground. And how does he top year two in the NFL for him? As a starter. His second year as a starter. Wins the Super Bowl last year. And I think sometimes, and this is part of the reason Mahomes is worthy of $500 million. And the details on the contract are interesting and somewhat unclear, right? We're still waiting on the absolute facts of the deal. Here's what we know. And we've seen some of these mechanisms over the course of the last few big contracts for quarterbacks. Normally, if you're not some schlub of a QB, even if you're just a backup veteran quarterback, your money guarantees around March for the following year. It's why guys will get cut sometimes just out after the Super Bowl. Mahomes' contract is going to guarantee all the money a year out to 3 years out, depending on whether it's the bonus portion or whether or not, and sort of what year it is, as Bill Barnwell broke it down in a very good article over at ESPN. So it's hard to calculate the exact amount of guaranteed money. I think it'll be accurate to say a hell of a lot of guaranteed money. $140 million injury guarantee. $450 to $503 million total over the course of these 12 years. And as people who are better at reading contracts than I am, and to be fair, every person on the face of the earth is better at reading contracts than I am, there's a belief that Mahomes may very well renegotiate in 2025 or 2026. What's absolutely clear and true is it's the richest athlete, richest contract in the history of sports. And as Mahomes tweeted out, he's going to stay in Kansas City. And there's a lot of reasons he's worthy of this money that goes beyond what he's done in two of the most sensational years we've seen in the history ever of a person starting in professional sports. And it's not an exaggeration. Let me give you a couple stats just to make the point. This guy is a kid. He's a young man. And the last two seasons as a quarterback in the NFL, remember last year, only played 14 regular season games, had that injury. And Mahomes, by the way, let me just digress here for a second. Of the many reasons he's worthy of $500 million, beyond his excellence, the guy plays net last year, all these expectations, gets injured, and Chiefs fans, I get it. I live in Kansas City, think, here we go again. We're utterly and totally screwed. And Mahomes guts it out, comes back earlier than a lot of people thought he should have, including me, and leads that team to a championship. Even amidst an injury during the season, the guy is capable of getting it done and making it happen. This is an organization this is an amazing stat. I lived there for 7 years of what I'm about to tell you. From 1993 to 2015, that's 22 years, the Chiefs did not win a single playoff game. Think about that. As much as the Jets bemoan their existence in the National Football League, well, they had Sexy Rexy for a little bit of a stretch, and they made two AFC Championship games. As much as Cowboys fans believe they haven't had the success that they deserve, they won Super Bowls, many Super Bowls over the course of that stretch. The Kansas City Chiefs aren't some also-ran organization. The AFC Championship trophy, the trophy that really bound and brought us to an actual Super Bowl, is named after Lamar Hunt, the founding owner and the father, the late great Lamar Hunt, the father of Clark Hunt, the owner now of the Chiefs. This was an organization steeped in history, and it had been covered by the soot and the dust of incompetence. From Pioli all the way before that, Patrick Mahomes delivered that organization, not by himself, but delivered that organization from a history of futility and embarrassment. And he did it by having one of the greatest entries in the history of professional sports. Over the last 2 years, including the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes has 89 passing touchdowns. That's first in the National Football League. As a first-year starter in his second year in the league and a second-year starter. 10,602 passing yards. That's first in the National Football League. He's won, when he started, 27 football games. 27. It's first in the National Football League. Yards per pass attempt, 8.5. First in the National Football League. Passing touchdowns over the course of that time, 76. First in the National Football League. It goes on and on and on in the regular season. It goes on and on and on. One of the things about Mahomes that I find amazing is the way in which, and this is why the Chiefs have locked him up to a massive deal. And we'll get into some other particulars about Patrick Mahomes later in the show. I'm a huge believer that Mahomes could be the most important NFL player in the history of the sport. And don't get it twisted, don't get it confused. I don't mean the most talented or most successful, though he's got the talent. The NFL, and I've talked to GMs and agents about this and players before, it's not even close. Your favorite sport is baseball or the NBA or whatever it is. It's fine. Do your thing. It doesn't approach the NFL's significance in American culture. You can take, and I'm a huge NBA and baseball guy, you can take all those sports, stack them on top of each other. They don't get to where the NFL is. And yet it's always been about the shield, not the individual. Yeah, Peyton Manning's a big deal. And he walks down the street, he's certainly going to get recognized. But a lot of his teammates aren't going to. From the fact they wear helmets to how many guys there are that play on a football field. Just the fact that it's a team-oriented thing. They teach NBA players early on, sell the brand. They don't teach that in the National Football League. They teach those guys to speak monosyllabically when they're talking to guys like me. I was a young reporter at the time in Kansas City, but I always marveled at talking to the guys off the record. Maybe you'd bump into them at camp over a beer and cool dudes. Same guy that you thought, you know, that's a good dude. Hey, what do you think of the game today?
Game good.
And then they'd run away. And so you haven't had NFL players who have been the most important athlete in American society. You just haven't. I mean, you go back to sort of my time, right? It basically runs Jordan to Tiger to Kobe to LeBron to Steph to LeBron with some overlap in there. Hasn't been an NFL player. Patrick Mahomes is going to change that. Think about this. Think about how certain, as football fans we are, just how the physics of the game works, right? There are things you can do. And we saw Tom Brady with that amazing comeback against Atlanta. Sorry, Falcons fans. In the Super Bowl a few years ago. I was there. It was brutal. It was painful. A lot of you lost a whole bunch of money gambling on it. I get that it's a sports PTSD moment. I get it. It was also impossible, right? Not supposed to happen. Not a real thing. A one-off. The greatest quarterback of all time. Mahomes does it again and again and again. That Chiefs team was down, what, 24-0 in the first half against the Texans in their playoff run to the Super Bowl? And the difference between what Mahomes did in his comeback and what Brady did is Brady's comeback was shocking. It was amazing, but we were all surprised. I remember watching that Chiefs game thinking, oh, they're down 24-0. It feels close. It doesn't, and it was, if memory serves, I should have looked it up, but if memory serves, the Chiefs erased that deficit in the half. They were down 24-0 in the second quarter. They've been down, you go back and look, again and again. Mahomes is a guy who literally makes a 2 or 3 or 4 possession game in the National Football League feel like a 5-point game in the NBA or a 2-run game in baseball. He changes the physics of football. And there's a lot of reasons he's become the guy that he's become. You have to give Andy Reid and that Chiefs organization credit. They saw what he was. There's no doubt that talent is critical. But he also landed in the right spot. And I can speak with some expertise on this, having written about the Chiefs a lot and spent time with Clark Hunt. When Clark Hunt first became the owner of the Chiefs, and I spent maybe 2 weeks with him just before his father passed away, just before he took absolute control. Clark, like anybody, the owner of that organization, trying to figure it out. He's become a better owner in the last 10 years. Andy Reid has found in his second stint as the man, and Philly fans, I'm sorry it didn't work out, a happy place. And they built this wonderland to Andy Reid's offensive imagination. And I know we throw the word around. I think we can say genius. And Mahomes got to come into that. An organization that had figured itself out from the ownership level to the coaching level to the GM level. The weapons they've put around him. Patrick Mahomes is not just the richest athlete in the world now. He's not just the guy who took a Chiefs organization. And a lot of teams see themselves a certain way, right? Alabama fans saw themselves as Alabama even when Saban 10 years ago wasn't there yet. Nebraska fans, I got family in Nebraska, still see themselves as the Tom Osborne-led Nebraska program. Dodgers fans still see themselves as the team destined to have some Kirk Gibson, if he has to limp up there and get it done that way, bring what is rightfully theirs. There are a lot of teams across all of our sports whose fan bases look back to their history and rightfully believe greatness is theirs. They're entitled to it. It's their birthright. The problem is it's hard to recapture in sports to become more competitive. That was the Chiefs. And again and again and again, they couldn't get there. Joe Montana couldn't get him there. Got hurt. But still, couldn't get him there. Patrick Mahomes did it in 2 years because he's not just the richest athlete in sports. He's not just one of the luckiest. And success, hey man, you got to get lucky and be talented to get where you're going to go. Landed in the right place. Mahomes is this also rare combination of one of the most likable superstars at a young age who is somehow able to bend the game, the physics of the game, in a way that I haven't seen since Tiger Woods. And I'm not talking just greatness. I'm saying the way the game is different because of the fact he's a part of it. LeBron is amazing. But the game doesn't bend to LeBron the way that it does to Patrick Mahomes. The only question of Mahomes' absolute greatness, of his attempts to chase down, for me, my perspective, Bill Ryder, by the way, filling in here for Jim Rome, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and Aaron Rodgers is the most talented. Mahomes can chase them both down. He's got to stay healthy. But the money that he's been given, the opportunity he has to be in Kansas City for a long time, it speaks to an athlete who has a chance for the first time in the history of the NFL to be its best player over its history, its most talented player, its most recognizable player, and maybe most importantly, its most important player. This guy is a force in every way, in a way we haven't seen from the National Football League. That's not hyperbole. Super Bowl ring to show it. MVP to show it. Near records breaking his first year as a starter to show it. His specialness is beyond question. And in this country, my dad taught me this. It's true. Whatever you do for a living, the way that you know how you're valued by the people you work for, it is how much money they pay you. That is just a fact. Patrick Mahomes is valued more than any athlete on the face of the earth because he has the potential to have more value than any athlete on the face of the earth. What an incredible story. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. Give me a call. RomanHaveATake.com, at JimRome, JimRome.com. You can also hit me up. A lot of you did yesterday. Hard to read all the tweets during the show. I will look at every one of them afterwards, which is always a treat. Sports writer, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, if you want to hit me up on my Twitter timeline. I want to keep with this Mahomes conversation, and I want to just get into this a little bit. I know it's not sexy, but the way you win championships is before fans know what's happening. It's with culture. How the Chiefs built a culture that created Mahomes, and we'll hold that in juxtaposition to some other awful Knicks organizations and some other good ones. We'll do that when we come back here in a moment on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What up, Clothes? Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, Venus Williams and Rob Gronkowski team up with WWE superstar Becky Lynch and actor comedian Joel McHale as they compete in over-the-top challenges to put everyone to the test, see who comes out a winner on Game On on CBS Sports Network. Phone number 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com.
Game on.
At Jim Rome. Game on, baby. At Sportswriter. Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Barton Simmons going to talk some college football with us, by the way, about 20 minutes. College football national writer for CBS Sports. And we'll get into, when we talked about this, I did yesterday, my belief that college football should plan to go to spring football. Barton will tell us whether that's likely. Howard Beck in an hour. Brian Campbell covers UFC for CBS Sports, will be on next hour as well. And Trez Paylor, who's a national NFL guru for Yahoo Sports, used to cover the Kansas City Chiefs, crushed that beat when he was at the Kansas City Star. Called Mahomes in advance. He's the Chiefs expert in the country. He'll be on the show here on the Jim Rome Show the final hour. Mickey Havoc tweets, oh, this hurts me because I'm a Bears fan. But truth is truth, so let's read it. In my mind, the Chicago Bears are the smartest team out there. They save $500 million by taking Trubisky. Sad, frowny face. Yeah, so the context, those of you that don't know or Bears fans who have blotted it from their memory with horror and alcohol. The reality is that in 2017, both the Bears and the Chiefs moved up, and the Texans, to get their respective quarterbacks. If memory serves, and it does. Trubisky taken number 2 overall by my Bears. Future Hall of Famer, $500 million quarterback, Super Bowl champion, MVP. God help me, Patrick Mahomes, I believe, went 11. And I think Mahomes went 12. Or not Mahomes, excuse me, Watson. That's what's in my soul, Alvin. That's what's in my soul. Someone says Chicago Bears. I've gone from Cutler to Trubisky, and like we miss out on Mahomes. Awesome, awesome stuff. 10th overall. So then Watson was 12? Gary Rick corrects me. Mahomes, 10th overall. Trying to just feel better about myself. And Bill, great job yesterday. Thanks. I'd like to thank Matt in L.A. for wasting... Oh, we're going to get mean here. 3 minutes of my life I'll never get back. You made the same call the last 2 weeks. Do us all a favor and lose the number. Jerry in Phoenix. I like Matt's call. And Mike in LFK on Twitter. Could you imagine if Corona showed up before the Super Bowl and the Chiefs didn't have an opportunity to play that game? This city would have gone in a major depression. And actually, it's occurred to me. And you know, if you're in Kansas City... That organization has had so many opportunities, the Trent Green years, Vermeil, go back to Montana. They just couldn't. There were Chiefs teams that won a lot of games and couldn't get a playoff win. The only thing, you're right, that could stop Mahomes is a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic that shuts the world down. I am so, and I'm a Bears fan, but you're right about a team for as long as I did. You live among a community. My kids were born there. My parents still live in the area. They live in Columbia, east of there, a couple hours. I went to Mizzou. I'm so happy for Chiefs fans. And you're right. I mean, that was the one thing it turned out could stop Mahomes. Let's take a call or two. And by the way, it's interesting. Before we get to this call, the Mahomes contract looks like it's not nothing. But as we understand it, as it's been explained, as reporters try to ferret out the details, it appears that the Mahomes contract is going to be around 15% of the cap, which isn't great, but it's not the end of the world. Not for me. Let's go to Billy. And I love Toronto. Let's go to Billy in Toronto.
Hey,
Billy,
Bill, how you doing?
What up, buddy? You're on Jim Rome.
Bill, listen. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on Patrick Mahomes, please. I mean, I've seen this story with Cordell Stewart. I've seen this story with Robert Griffin. And you know, no doubt about it, he's a likable kid. But I'll tell you this. If Tom Brady or... the quarterback in Green Bay have a 24-0 lead. They're putting him out of the playoffs. I mean, how Houston lost this game, I'll never know. And also, Mahomes was not having a good Super Bowl until the final quarter. You know, all the best for getting all the money you can, but let's see what happens when you can't re-sign all your players. Let's see what happens then, and he'll probably be wanting out in 4 or 5 years. I mean, I like the kid, like everything about him, but... Whoa. I mean, let's just slow it down a bit. That's all I got.
Billy, thanks, buddy. Look, brother, I'll respectfully agree to very much disagree. Robert Griffin III led that football team to a little bit of excitement in year one, and they got hurt. Patrick Mahomes has already won an MVP in a Super Bowl. Sammy Watkins was one of the highest-paid receivers in football the last couple of years. And do you know where he was on the level of importance of that offense in each of those seasons in terms of a receiving threat, if you include the running backs who – in that offense, are receiving threats out of the backfield. Number 5, number 4. Do you know why I know that? Because I watched football and I had Sammy Watkins on my fantasy team both years. Not going to make that mistake again this year. The point is, the Chiefs have realized and found out if they have guys who have remarkable speed, combined with Andy Reid and his assistants and how they Dr. Jekyll their offensive approaches, they think it up, this mad scientist approach, they don't need a massive amount of money spent on offensive weapons to make it work. You know a guy they were going to pay a whole bunch of money eventually? Kareem Hunt. You know what happened to him? Kicked off that team, rightfully so. Ended up with the purgatory experience that is the Browns. And no, I don't buy them this year because I bought them last year. And I just, man, buy low, sell high. I do the opposite every year on the Browns. I'm selling on the Browns this year. Mahomes just chugged along. You're right. You're right, Billy, normally. Everything about Mahomes should add up to this doesn't work. He changes the physics of the game on the field and as you put a team together. That Chiefs defense wasn't very good last year. It wasn't very good last year. It wasn't very good the year before. Didn't matter, Patrick Mahomes. Their highest paid offensive weapon, Sammy Watkins, was often utterly and totally unnecessary. Doesn't matter, Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a different guy. Let's go to Cappy in Pensacola. Cappy, thank you for listening. Appreciate you. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Bill, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, calling into you after listening to Rome so long and not having Rome on is like when Dirty Jobs is on Mike Rowe wouldn't show up. Somebody else would show up. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was, I think for the Redskins, it's a perfect opportunity for the owner to not necessarily change. He can change. He's got to change the name, take the logo off, I guess, but just make it Washington with a W on each side of the helmet. You know, it's not going to get confused with the Seahawks. So just don't. But it's so iconic. And I'm a Giants fan that the Giants play Washington, the Eagles play Washington, Dallas plays Washington. Why rename the team? It's not the same as when the Bullets got renamed the Wizards. Nobody knows who the Bullets are. So I don't see a big reason to get another mascot. Just put a W on either side. And I'll say one more thing, if you don't mind. When I was a kid growing up in the 70s and stuff, I'm 52 now, but there was a kid that I went to school with that had a Redskins jacket, you know, football jacket with the leather sleeves and all that. But we didn't look at that Indian head logo as being something to mock. I mean, that was the coolest logo that you could ever see. So anyway, you're doing a good job. Of course, everybody that calls in when you're there would rather talk to Jim Rome, but I'm glad to talk to you. Thanks.
Hey, I appreciate you. Hey, I like me. I've had a healthy ego. And I'd rather listen to Jim Rome. I'm not offended. It's all good. I didn't get your reference at the front end. Like, yesterday, was it Gino? I get Mustard and High-Pitched Billy. Like, that one I was able to connect with. The Washington's team name has to change. Putting aside whether it should, and it should. But putting that aside, the zeitgeist has moved on. Like, it's done. It's going to change. Not having a name is interesting. It's not going to work. You have to have a logo you can sell. You have to have a logo that you can put on T-shirts, that you can put on hats, that you can sell. And where they go is anyone's guess. It'll be interesting. All right, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Appreciate you listening. We'll keep taking phone calls here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Talk a little college football with my guy Barton Simmons in just a minute. But first, we're going to get a
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We have almost full lines. Be exciting. Let's do this. Let's get there together. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. As you heard, I'm Bill Ryder. I'm filling in for Jim. And I'm also on Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. We will get to a bunch of these phone calls here in a minute. But I want to get some insight and some perspective on what will happen, what we should expect from college football, and what the right decision is for these various conferences. And I can't think of anybody better than my buddy Barton Simmons, my colleague, national college football writer for CBS Sports on Twitter. It's easy to find him, at Barton Simmons, also director of scouting 24/7 Sports, co-host of the Cover 3 College Football Podcast, which is excellent, and now a guest on the show. Mr. Simmons, what's shaking, buddy?
Bill, what's happening, man? Just sitting here waiting for, hopefully, a football season.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've seen, even today, MLS's FC Dallas pulls out of their season. We've seen NBA facilities shut down. We've seen complaints from the GM of the Nationals on the baseball side, the Cubs, Chris Bryant, about testing, not getting results back. It's early. I know we're all rooting for sports. What is your confidence? Let's start here. What is your confidence level? We're going to have something approaching a complete and normal college football season this fall.
I'd say the way you phrase that question, I'm not very confident in that, in a normal college football season, complete maybe. Ultimately, I'm at a level of uncertainty about this thing that I think is probably fairly consistent with a lot of the decision makers as well, whether that be coaches, athletic directors, commissioners. Right now, no one knows. And so I think where I'm at from an expectation standpoint is that I'm cautiously optimistic there will be a season. I think there will be an altered season. You know, maybe a team's miss, you know, or one team, one state, one city might have to, you know, kind of pull their players off the field, might have to cancel a game or two. You know, maybe teams play 9-game seasons, another team plays an 11-game season. I just think there's going to be a lack of consistency, and you just get in where you can, kind of every team for themselves, every conference for themselves. And so I think with that, it's going to look very different. And the playoffs and the national championship and however that looks, whatever that is at the end of the year, could involve teams with really varying resumes in terms of opportunities to actually compete. And so it's going to be wild. It's kind of my expectation right now. And the Ivy League is announcing tomorrow their decisions in terms of what they're going to do this fall, whether they're going to push their season back to the spring, which I think seems like highly likely. But I think that decision, and that's a lot's going to be made of that. But I hope that decision doesn't impact the FBS season too much, because I think the Ivy League has a lot of different decision points that don't really translate to the rest of college football. So that should be interesting to see how that news is perceived.
Yeah, I certainly have my eye on that. Barton Simmons here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. I want to circle back to something you brought up. And Barton, I understand, I mean, hell, with baseball and the NBA, which are almost underway, right? It's hard to make confident prognostications or guesses about what's going to happen or how the virus is going to play itself out, and even more so for football as we wait. So that asterisk put into place, what is your best guess on what a college football playoff looks like? If college football happens in the fall and in some form, even a severely truncated form, what do you think the likelihood is we get four teams that play each other for a national championship come January?
I think if they play a season, you know, they're going to want to be playing for something, and there's going to be every effort made to have some sort of a postseason and playoff setting and national championship. So I would think that would happen if we get a season. And the interesting thing again to me is how you even select the playoff. I mean, we think the playoff selection process is subjective now.
Yeah.
Imagine what that committee's got to deal with when they're trying to pick one team that's played 12 games and four non-conference opponents, two of which were ranked, and here's another team that's played just a conference schedule. And that conference schedule has only provided them limited opportunities to really sort of flex against a really strong opponent. It's going to be a heck of a decision making process there. So I think that's something that's going to be really interesting to track as the season progresses. I think we could also see a season in which you might have a loss on your schedule, but that loss might have been affected by some sort of COVID outbreak on your team. And maybe you had coaches out, or maybe you had quarterbacks out, or, you know, I think that there's a kind of an injury report element to this that is going to be really interesting to watch play out as well. So, this is, to get back to your initial question of, is it going to be a normal season? Because of all of that, you know, normalcy is out the window. Hopefully there's just a season at all.
Barton Simmons here on the Jim Rome Show, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. See, it's all these what ifs I got to throw at you, Barton, because everything is in uncertainty, wrapped in a mystery here with this very bizarro time we're living through. There is going to be a canary in the coal mines of sort for college football and the NFL, in the sense that we're going to see MLS and a much more high profile, the NBA and Major League Baseball, make a go of it, and we'll have an understanding certainly how that works or how that does not. If the NBA or Major League Baseball begin, in the MLB's case, or restart in the NBA's case, and one of the two are both shut down, that they can't complete their season, given the fact that at least theoretically, these are amateur athletes in college, given the fact that not every university is going to have students on campus. If that transpires, that MLB or the NBA can't finish, what do you think college football should do as it relates to playing in the fall versus the spring?
You know, it's hard. It's a hard question to answer because I think a lot is dependent on what we learn between now and whenever that decision comes. And that's why we keep seeing these administrators sort of kick the can down the road as far as they can and delaying decision, because I think every day we're at least hoping to learn more, to have a better understanding about what we're dealing with here. And so, I mean, college kids seem to be more resilient to this than others. And I know that's, you know, the professional leagues are still from a resilience to the virus are pretty well equipped as well, because everyone's in really good shape and those are relatively young people. But I think when we're looking at this from a risk standpoint, from the administration side, I think that's one of the big things they've got to get sort of comfortable with is, you know, what are they willing to risk? You know, are they willing to, if the mortality rate is so low that it's very unlikely that anyone would get would have sort of that sort of a reaction to the disease, then are you comfortable letting them play? And if one person dies, is that enough to sort of pull everyone out for the year? And I would imagine a lot of administrators think it is. And so I think that's sort of what we're dealing with here is look, what's the benefit and then what's the cost? And I think that's because there will be sort of a fear of making the mistake that would potentially cost, you know, lives, literally. I think that you could see some administrators really be skittish about putting players out on the field, particularly when the professional leagues perhaps aren't. And so it's a really tough decision to be making, you know, and not one that I envy for those decision makers.
I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim Rome. Barton Simmons, as you talk to sources, and I understand everyone, I mean, folks that work at the CDC are trying to figure out COVID-19 and the particulars and the important realities of this virus. So it's guesswork based on the information we have. But as you talk to folks around college football, is there a sense of how likely they think this virus will or won't be contracted by players smashing into each other, but outside the fact that they're out? Do you have a sense of how contagious folks think this will be, this virus, to people playing football?
You know, I think I think the thing that when I talk to people, I think most of the time, like, there is just sort of an assumption that the nature of football is one in which the spread will be easy. And so it will be about sort of sniffing it out and containing it, because once someone has it, given, again, the nature of the game, given how many players are on the roster, it's just, how it gets contracted, how it spread, it just sort of seems to be there is an acknowledgement that it will be easily spread. Now, again, I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know, you know, where that falls in terms of how high risk the sport would be, given just sort of the nature of it. But I think because of that, you know, all the different sort of changes and procedure that are taking place and are being planned for are pretty fascinating. I mean, you know, I talked to somebody on a college staff recently that was talking about how there's considerations like, maybe we don't go into the locker room at halftime. Maybe we just meet in the end zone, you know, like it's a Pop Warner game. You know, maybe we take 7 buses to the game instead of 2. You know, so I think that there is those sort of conversations are being taken place within college football programs to try to mitigate the spread and try to make it as safe as possible for the players and limit the spread within the team as much as possible. But, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can really do. And again, when you're talking about the nature of the game being one that's it's not golf, not tennis. It's I mean, they're you know, there's a lot of physical contact, and so obviously, you know, that's gonna create some uncertainty about the prospect of things.
Barton, great stuff, man. Great insight in a really, really uncertain time. Appreciate you. Be safe, and look forward to talking to you about actual college football games whenever that is able to be a reality.
Man, I'm praying for it, Bill. I would love to talk again, and we're just talking shop and talking ball. So we'll be rooting for that.
Me too, brother. Thanks, Barton. See you, buddy. Barton Simmons on the show. Excellent reporter. On Twitter at Barton Simmons, college football national writer for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. Does a really good podcast, 24/7 scouting director. It's funny. It's true. It just takes on a whole new meaning. Football ain't golf, and it ain't tennis. And this is where I get, again, from a place of love for baseball, so angry at baseball. You know what also it ain't? It ain't baseball. You should be able to do baseball. We should right now be celebrating the fact that Major League Baseball put out their schedule. But you know what the schedule for this truncated season actually underscores? You know what Robert Manfred actually put before us yesterday after this show got done? A reminder of how much they're squandering their opportunities. Chris Bryant complaining, rightfully so. Mike Rizzo complaining, rightfully so. Your phone calls and how MLB continues to be incompetent. It's frustrating. We're going to get into it next here on The Jim Rome Show.